Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it, or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win Album of the Year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
One love, you once again fight.
Fife really introduced me to actually taking it seriously, to rap. I've known Fife since I was like 4 years old. You know, we went to church and everything. We sang in the harmony choir and all that stuff. And he was always the one, like, feed me with different little things or whatever. But he's the one who kind of put it in me that I could rhyme. Because he was always rhyming when Rapper's Delight was out when he was like 9-10 years old. The dude was rhyming, like freestyling, like for real, like just making stuff up. Like he's gifted, you know what I mean? And I just was always in awe of him. But after we heard that Slick Rick tape and I sat with it, you know, Running Them was popping off from Being Around Our Way. He was like, yo, man, we could just do it. I can remember we was in this cat named Randall's car. He had, like, this Cadillac or something. Fife was like, yo, man, we need to rap, man. Listen to Rick. You know, you've been listening to that joint for weeks. That's your lane. You know what I mean? Like, basically, in that kind of way, he was saying that. So he pushed me to rhyme.
This is the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. We're, changing the plan of today because of the news of passing of, I mean, somebody, you know, me and Moody, we're going to get into, you know, the specifics, but Tribe Called Quest, Fife Dawg passed away, and, you know, this guy was half or a quarter, whatever, however you want to break down the group. You know, him and Q-Tip were together when all cylinders were going, two of the best together.
Yes, indeed.
And I had the opportunity and the pleasure and the gift of doing the Beats, Rhymes, and Life Travels of a Tribe Called Quest documentary about the group. And, you know, I haven't seen the movie in a little while,
But Fife, you know, throughout the shooting of the film and afterwards and throughout his whole life was so open and honest and genuine about what he was going through with his health.
Mm-hmm.
And it's depicted in the movie. And, I mean, you know, that film was made because I was a fan.
Right.
That's the reason why I made the movie.
Yep. I remember.
You know, and I started the financing of the movie on my own. I paid for it my own money because I was a fan and I wanted to tell their story. It's just heartbreaking to find out what happened. If you grew up in that time when Tribe came out and Fife sort of the first time you heard him was on Can I Kick It? You know, and his line, the iconic line, Mr. Dinkins, would you please be my mayor?
Yeah.
You know, he had such a boyish quality to his voice. It was like the town crier.
Right.
He sounded like a little kid. Mr. Dinkins, would you please be my mayor? Yeah. You're having a really good day here. And that, you know, and he was just like, what? Who is this?
Who is this cat? Yeah.
And, you know, then, of course, the emergence of Fife Dawg, where he really sort of bust through and you know, it became like a two-headed monster, was on Low End Theory during Bugging Out. You know, yo, microphone check, 1, 2, what is, and the way he came through and the energy that he came through with and the way he would start a song by saying, yo,
yeah.
You know, it was like Bugged Out.
That was his coming out party, that album.
That album. And Low End Theory or Midnight Marauders, you know, people go, which song is best? I mean, which record is best?
You can't lose with either one.
They're perfect top to bottom.
Boom Bap at its finest.
At its finest.
At its finest. At its zenith.
Yeah. It was like, you know, one of the Big Bang Theories of hip-hop.
Yeah.
Like those albums and what they did was like, boom. And, you know, the humor and this sort of self-effacing quality, one of his greatest lines, the height of Muggsy Bogues, complexion of a hockey puck.
Right, right.
You know how Biggie would say, black, ugly as ever. You know, sort of embracing his flaws and making them his strengths.
Right.
What
did you take from Fife? Like, what did you gather from him when you met him?
Nice dude. Good dude. Honest dude. Sweet dude. Sensitive dude. Vulnerable.
Right.
New York guy.
Queens in the house.
He'd all Queens all day.
Yes.
He's always Queens.
Mets.
Mets. Jets.
Yeah.
Knicks. The biggest Knicks fan I've ever met. The biggest Knicks fan I've ever met. This guy, I mean, yo, it's no coincidence.
And Starks got ejected.
It's no. This is not like, you know, Bo knows this and Bo knows that. But Bo don't know Jack.
I'll skate on your crew like Mario Lemieux.
This is Fife.
Yeah, sports, hockey.
I mean, he could talk football, basketball, baseball with the best of them.
Yeah.
College basketball, college football. Yeah. He was like a human Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And he would, like, one of the funny things, I would answer you, so he was just a sweetheart. And the first time we interviewed him, I had no idea what he was going to talk to me about. I had no idea what he would talk about. I knew there was health stuff. I knew there was diabetes. I didn't know the extent of it.
Right.
The first time we interviewed him, he broke down in tears, and we broke down in tears.
Wow.
And he talked about his wife, and he talked about the kidney transplant and needing a new kidney, and what his wife gave him his kidney, and he talked about that so openly and beautifully, and it's in the movie. And
wow,
you know, when we did that and I interviewed him and we had that on camera, I was like, we can't stop making this movie.
Right.
These guys are giving us, he specifically, he's giving us his soul. He gave us, the first time we interviewed him, for that movie, he gave us his soul.
Everything.
And he was so vulnerable and so sweet and just genuine. And, you know, one of the things that was so great about Tribe is that that's who they were. You know, it was a persona, but like when you know, like in hip hop at that time, you know, there was like Kool G Rap and Polo, Eric B and Rakim, EPMD, you know, Chuck D and them, those guys were doing their thing. But like Tribe, along with Native, Jungle Brothers, Moni Love, you know, and that whole Native Tongue clique, but we're talking about Tribe and Fife, you felt like you knew these guys.
Right.
You felt like you knew Fife. And as, you know, abstract, poetic, and as out there as Q-Tip was, you felt like you knew a guy like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Fife was the guy on the corner at the coffee shop, in your class, on your bus, that was
getting a hero at the bodega.
And as you could hear, the horns were here in New York, and nobody loved New York. Being from New York, being a New York MC.
Yep. With the history that comes with that.
He loved being a New York MC.
He embraced that.
And, you know, those guys grew up in Queens. And, you know, he talked, some of the things that got cut out of the movie, you know, he talked about, like, they would see Run DMC in their neighborhoods. They would drive around.
Wow.
And they would see LL Cool J in their neighborhood driving around. And, like, that influenced them.
Inspired them.
They'd see them.
Right.
When they were Run DMC, when they were LL Cool J. And, you know, he talked about, you know, not really being focused on the first album, but like how much he was like, Fife, how much Tip said, yo, I need you. And Fife was like, yo, I got you, son. And like, and then when they did that, like as great as People's Stinctive and Travels and the Pass of Rhythm are, sorry, is, Low End Theory took it to the next level. And then they came back and did it again with Midnight Marauders. And if you've never heard these records, I implore you.
Buy them.
And don't shuffle them. Play them in order.
Like we did.
They were made to be heard that way.
Right.
You know, and if you have somebody who's reluctant to it, get them Midnight Marauders and say, just give it a listen.
Both of them. Buy them as gifts.
Yeah.
To understand how passionate we are about that particular boom bap, you can hear what we're talking about in the production and Fife Dawg's voice, Q-Tip, how they're so great together.
Perfect. And you know, like, you know, Amir Questlove from The Roots, he said, you know, he said a great thing in the movie, you know, Tip is very smooth, Fife is very hype.
Yeah.
And it didn't get any better. And even on the last two albums, Beats, Rhymes, and Life and the Love Movement, the songs that worked, they worked. You know, there was a little bit of, you know, discord and things were changing in hip-hop, and I think musically things were changing within the group. But when they clicked, Find a Way, as good as Tribe song on their last album as any other song. And Fife was all about that, being that MC. The 5-foot assassin with the roughneck business.
Right.
Mr. Energetic, who me sound prophetic. When's the last time you heard a funky diabetic? I mean, that's one thing. Yeah. You know, hair crazy curly.
Flip like Mr. Furley.
In my life, you know, like, you know, funny shit.
Yeah, witty, clever.
Rerun to Chachi.
Yeah.
Q-Tip to Pfeiffer.
Yeah, and they're playing his music all over the world. And it's classy.
It's classy. And, you know, like, there's been so many tributes and Instagrams. There was a guy who I want to give a shout out to on the Iron Rapport podcast, amongst all the other DJs, and this guy named Mark Arum, a news reporter, weather reporter, and if, I don't know if you've heard this, but we'll play it now.
Mark Arum is standing by with more on this and the impact with Triple Team Traffic. Mark.
Yeah, this rush hour coming with more hits than the Braves or the Yankees. Fred, we're on a war tour with Mark McKay, my man, going each and every place with Traffic Tracker 2 in his hand. Now, Mark McKay, are things ludicrously speedy or infectious with the slow-mo?
Infectious with the slow-mo currently.
Mark McKay, do that, do that, do that.
You on point, Mark?
Oh, we're on point, Fred. Absolutely. Seeing extra delays in from Stone Mountain Freeway, Highway 78. One for the treble, two for the bass. You know the style, Mark McKay. Time to flip this.
Flip on.
You can get updates for traffic anywhere you want to go. New York, NJ, NC, VA. Or, of course, follow us on Twitter. It's at WSB Traffic.
He did his entire broadcast.
Forecast.
His entire forecast quoting Tribe and Fife Dog.
Lyrics. It was great. What's his name?
Mark Arum.
Good
Mark
job.
Mark Arum.
Good job,
and,
dude.
And check this out. So this guy did that, and it was just excellent. And I saw Kendrick Lamar giving a passionate shout out and stopping his concert in Australia. And I mean, and everybody that knows anything knows Tribe and knows how important Fife was. And, you know, I've been asked, because I'm sure it's been hard to get a hold of his close friends.
Right.
And Jarobi and Ali Shaheed Muhammad and, of course, Tip. And his friends.
Right.
And De La. These are guys that, you know, like, I don't want to be like, I'm the spokesperson for Tribe Called Quest or Fife. These guys are way more devastated than I am.
Of course, yeah.
They've grew up together, these guys. They were kids when they were doing this. I mean, 17, 18, 19.
And knew him. They knew each other before then.
And Q-Tip and Childhood. Fife were in third grade together.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Jarobi and Fife, you know, these are guys are best friends.
Yeah.
You know, before they were even thinking about a group. So, you know, you know, I was asked to talk to this magazine and that magazine, and I just begged them. You know, the Rolling Stone and Spin, give him and give A Tribe Called Quest the same respect and the same headlines you would give anybody from any classic rock group.
Right. Right.
Because Coldplay, Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, Arctic, you know, Arcade, any group that, give them the same respect. Don't treat them like a hip-hop group. It's a sub, you know, on the corner thing.
A side.
Please give them the respect they deserve.
Right. And we shouldn't even have to ask you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask because I said,
we know how you get down with that.
That's what they do.
You did that to B.B. King. He had a little sidebar. B.B. King.
And this is a guy who's influence and who his impression in hip hop culture and in music, he's half of one of the most important groups of any genre in the last 50 years.
Yes.
You could put Tribe Called Quest, their importance, up with anybody.
And more, because they actually unified they unified different ethnicities.
That's very important.
And they brought different ethnicities to hip hop.
That's really, really important. One of the words that came up from a handful of people that I interviewed, Pharrell, Quali, Mos Def, for that movie, was inclusiveness.
Yeah.
They were for everybody. It was soul, it was funky, it was Afrocentric, it was black. But somehow or another, it was for everybody.
Right. It wasn't really shunning no one. Yeah.
It was really what Bambaataa, that dream, that peace, unity, love, and having fun. It exuded that.
Yep.
You know, and of course they talked a lot about, you know, they gave a lot of shout outs, a lot of lines, a lot of love to Zulu Nation.
That was the magnet.
Yeah.
They were their black selves. And they were proud of that.
Right.
And they exuded that in the lyrics. No disrespect to nobody, but this is who we are.
Right. And, you know, it's just crushing. I can't imagine what his family is going through. And his wife and his son and his good friends. And I'm not going to name names. A shout out to all of you.
Condolences to
his family,
entire
his wife. The entire family.
Trinidad, all that.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, you know, Fife also was one of the first people to bring that. You know, he was Trinidad. I mean, you know, and he was, you know, he brought a lot of reggae stuff to mainstream stuff. And
Mighty Sparrow, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and all the name dropping that he did, all the shout outs, you know, Nia Long's grandmother.
Yeah.
You know, used to have a crush from Dawn from In Vogue.
Yeah.
You know, Bo knows this, Bo knows that. Mr. Furley.
Yeah. Don Knotts.
Don Knotts. He had such a great sense of humor. Like, you know, his raps, his music, his lyrics, such a great sense of humor, and really exuded that word MC.
Yeah.
He took it seriously.
Right. As a New York MC, you have to, because you have a legacy to live up to.
And he was very aware of that. He's from that fabric.
Yes.
And one thing I can say is, you know, we did you know, a lot of press for Tribe and for the film, and I spent, you know, a good amount of time with him. I never saw him not excited and appreciative when someone would come up to him and be like, "Yo, Fife Dog, Tribe, what's up, fam?" Always give them love, always stop for pictures. And, you know, he had health issues.
Right.
Never turned anybody away, always smiled, always give pounds, always give dap to every single person.
That's a window into his character.
That's who he was. And that voice, that boyish voice, right. You know, it just had such an emotion in it.
Right.
It had such an emotion in it.
They did it. They did good.
Yeah, they did. They did fantastic.
They did good.
They did fantastic. And what else? I mean, I'm just sort of, we're just free falling here because of this is just out of the blue.
Yeah.
You know, Kanye West and Pharrell, The Roots, would be the first to tell you, they've said it publicly, without Tribe, there would be no Kanye. There would be no Pharrell.
Roots. There would be no Roots.
There'd be no Roots. You know, and one of the other legacies and imprints that Tribe has is, you know, when they came out wearing jeans and regular clothes and not anything fancies and the dashikis. And you see so many people now, young people, whether they're in hip hop or not, being themselves, being not of the norm. And again, it's not just Tribe who did this. It was De La. It was that whole clique. It was like, you know, we don't all have to wear gold chains. We don't have to wear, like, you know, thuggish, ruggish. We could smile. That legacy, that comfortable
equality,
being who you are, a big part of it is Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah.
They're
loved, man.
They're loved.
He's loved.
And I'm so happy that ESPN and Ryan Rosillo and Scott Van Pelt and Jamel and the His and Hers, Michael and all the people, you know, that have a public forum to give this guy. He loved sports. And he was recently, he was on ESPN for the 25th anniversary of People's Instinctive Travels. I guarantee you that'd be one of the highlights of his life.
Yeah.
You could see the interview.
Yeah.
The guy was gushing.
Yeah. It's right.
He loved it.
Yeah.
Nothing but love, respect, condolences, thoughts, prayers for Fife, Malik Taylor, his family, everybody who, you know, continue to celebrate his music, to celebrate Tribe music. And I don't think that anybody needs to be urged for this, because you could just already feel the momentum of his passing. It touched so many people.
Right. And also, I want to say, your loved ones, make sure you tell them you love them.
It's true.
Because this life we are living can leave us at any time.
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
So it's very important. And people, you hear it all the time, but make sure you do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's very true. What else? I don't know. I've heard from so many different people that were fans of his. And then that I've seen on Twitter, call me, text me. Everybody's beaten up by this.
Yeah.
It was so out of the blue. And he's going to be missed. He's going to be talked about. He's going to be celebrated. This entire episode is obviously dedicated to Fife Dawg, and I hope you enjoy it. It's from the bottom of our hearts. I am Rapport Stereo Podcast.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tale. Toyota. Let's go places.